WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Ukraine's president just arrived at the White House after meeting with senators today to get more aid approved. Majority Leader Chuck Schumer.
He needs the aid quickly. If we don't give the aid quickly, several things will happen. First, the military needs, but second, Europe and many other allies will say, what is going on here?
Fighting between Israel and Hamas is intensifying across Gaza as the humanitarian crisis worsens. Hugo Bachegas with the BBC.
Aid organizations have been warning that those who haven't been killed by bombs may not survive hunger and diseases across Gaza.
House Republicans are set to vote tomorrow on whether to formally impeach President Biden. Speaker Mike Johnson.
We're not going to prejudge the outcome of this. We can't, because again, it's not a political calculation. We're following the law.
It comes as Hunter Biden set to testify on his business dealings, but Democrats say this is all an effort to reelect former President Trump. CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
Hey, Kelvin, can you hear me? Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Kelvin.
I can hear you, Matt. It's on our end.
Oh, it's on your end. Okay, because I thought I might have jiggled. All right. Is it going to stay on your end? In which case, you're going to have to relay the messages from the callers.
No. We'll go. You can hear everything that's going out on the board. There's just a glitch with something where the commercials aren't playing right now.
Oh, the background in the news?
Yeah. Okay. So you'll be able to hear the music once I play it.
All right. And as long as I can hear the calls, that's all I care about.
Yep. You'll be able to hear the callers.
All right. Thank you.
Yep.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide and live on Civic Media. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits, and all points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. Going right to the front lines of history in the making. I don't know where to start, but I'll tell you where I'm going to start. The Supreme Court has unexpectedly agreed to hear Jack Smith's request that they decide the immunity issue involving Donald Trump. Now, what's that all about? Why is it unusual? What's the immunity issue? What's going on here? Here in a nutshell is what is happening. Donald Trump, crooked Donald Trump, lying Donald Trump, is trying to delay all these cases as much as possible. So if he gets beyond this summer, and if God forbid he's ever reelected, he'll have the Attorney General call off any federal case. Then the state cases with Fannie Willis is the only one so far, unless Josh Call indicts him, and he could. Fannie Willis did. Josh Call indicts, I should say criminally charges, under a conspiracy theory as well as individually, the 10 fake electors and Ron Johnson and Fitzgerald and Voss. He could indict, he could charge Chesbro, everybody that Fannie Willis charged, he could charge. Trump, Giuliani, all of them. He can charge all of them. Now, what Trump's latest gambit was that he brought a motion before Tanya Chutkan in D.C. to kick the case, throw it out, because he said, all of what is alleged here occurred while I was president. He was president, even though he lost in November, until noon on January 20th, 2021. Why did it take 2.5 months to get rid of him when he lost in November? Because you need a transition period for the new cabinet, that kind of thing. And up until Franklin Roosevelt, it didn't turn over till March. It wasn't January, it was March. So you could beat somebody, and then they stayed in office from November to March. It's 4 months. In this case, Trump did a lot of mischief just in the 2 months, a little over 2 months. He refused to have the new cabinet members meet with his cabinet, give them any information. He hid things. He threw things out. He obstructed. He injured the United States. However, on January 20, at noon, Joe Biden became the president. That's why that morning, the morning of January 20, 2021, Trump ordered Air Force One to fly him to Mar-a-Lago instead of his own private flight. Because he could. And it was the last time anybody saluted him. Next time he's liable to be saluted is by a prison guard. But in any event, Trump's point is that I was president. So all this stuff, the insurrection on January 6th, all this stuff was when I was president, technically president, and president has complete immunity. Now, a president does not have complete immunity. The Richard Nixon case proved that. Richard Nixon claimed the same thing. Said to the Supreme Court when he taped the conversations and they conspired to burgle. He was not in on the burglary. He was in on the cover-up and to harass Democrats at their convention in Miami that year when they nominated George McGovern and when he burglarized Daniel Ellsberg's psychiatrist's office to get dirt on him. He said, hey, I was president. Supreme Court said no. And effectively they said, you are not a king and you are not above the law. And that's what they'll say again here, I think. But what Jack Smith was worried about, and I'm worried about, is that if Tanya Chutkan sat on it, but she didn't, she said, no, you don't have immunity. But if he brings it to the Court of Appeals in D.C., they're lazier than hell. These people are lazy as hell. They'd give a 30, 60-day briefing schedule. They'd bust the March trial date. Then there'd be a responsive brief, 30 days, then a reply brief, 15, 30 days. Oral argument would be set in September. They'd yawn. They'd decide it in December. Jack Smith knew that. So it is possible to bring a petition to circumvent the Court of Appeals, go right to the Supreme Court, and have them decide on an expedited basis. And it rarely happens. I mean, the kinds of cases I was involved in, which were civil cases, you know, they might have some complexity, but they were basically fights between two companies, blah, blah, blah. And this very rarely is granted. But here, there's a trial date in March, and Tanya Chutkan has said, I'm not going to move it. Now, how does that work? Let's say that she denies Trump's defense of immunity, which is a joke. It's a joke. Nixon didn't have immunity. Trump didn't have immunity. No president has immunity from committing a criminal offense. Period. End of story. So let's game this out. Let's say the Supreme Court had denied this and it goes to the Court of Appeals. She'll keep that March trial date. Trump would have to go to the Court of Appeals in that case and ask them to stay it, it's called, S-T-A-Y, while they chew on his issue. And they don't have to stay it. Then he'd go to the Supreme Court, stay it. They don't have to stay it. She could try it. She could rule that he doesn't have immunity, which she did. And he could get convicted. But it's cleaner to put a cap on this thing once and for all. And by granting this motion, this is in effect what it is, a petition from Jack Smith. What the Supreme Court is saying is this is very, very serious. This guy is right now the front runner for the Republican nomination. We say he's as crooked as a dog's hind leg. You know, he lies at breakfast, lunch, and dinner. But whatever, this has got to be resolved. Now, they could say he has immunity and overrule the Supreme Court that heard the Nixon petition back in 1973 and '74. They could do that. I don't think they will do that. They wanted to do something like that, they'd lie in the weeds. The six tarantulas are taking a lot of heat. They're tarantulas, and they're taking a lot of heat. And so it's very, very likely, in my view, that they'll rule, and they'll say he doesn't have immunity based on the Nixon example, on the precedent. Then it'll go back to Tanya Chutkan. She'll hold the trial in March. She'll hold the trial in March. He will come up with some other sneaky appeal. I will bet his lawyer has a heart attack the week before, certified by his own doctor, maybe that strange guy with the long hair. Remember, this guy, Slamy, guy, remember when he said that Donald Trump was the healthiest president since George Washington, that real weirdo? He didn't even look like a doctor. He didn't look like a doctor. Guy comes out, I mean, he looked like he came out of central casting for some villain in a horror movie. And remember, I think he drove up in a limo and stuck his hand out and said, here's my thing. And it wasn't a normal medical opinion. It was, he's the healthiest president since George Washington. Jack, did you know George Washington? Give me a break. Do you know what medicine was like? 1788, when George Washington was elected. Give me a break. These guys kill me. Anyway, there'll be some sneaky stuff. Trump will say, a cardiologist will say, Trump is having heart murmurs and can't come into the courtroom. The only reason he won't say it is if they think that'll hurt him in the presidential race, in which case he'll say Melania does, or one of his kids, or his lawyer. Be ready for any sneakiness. Now, Tanya Chutkan is a good judge. She'll say he has lots of lawyers. So this one, we will weep for him, of course. We will go to his memorial, but bring somebody else on. Bring another weirdo on. But that's what's going on. I think, you know, it's very, very hard to predict in this business, but I think by granting this, I would be very surprised if they did this to just sit on it and delay it and order that the trial not go forward. The tarantulas do that. They will be disclosed as tarantulas, and they have plenty on their plate right now, the abortion case in Dobbs and a lot of other stuff. So I suspect they will get on it. And all they have to do is read the Nixon case, Xerox it, and have somebody type it up with today's date. That's literally all they got to do. If you are the president of the United States and you commit a crime, this is not medieval England, where the king was above the law. The king is not above the law. And I'll tell you what, Trump is not a king. He's not a king. Mark from the SAC, my friend. Thanks for calling us your money, Mark from the SAC.
Yeah, the thought occurs to me, if the Supreme Court does the awful and actually says, well, the president's immune, then that would also apply to Joe Biden. Then Joe Biden could actually start doing all the stuff that Trump, you know, fantasizes openly about, and take care of all Joe Biden's enemies. And he's not going to do that, but he could take care of all his enemies in one vile swoop. I mean, that just clear the decks of all his enemies, and that things would go on. So they're certainly not going to just declare that a president is immune for and can do whatever the heck he wants. That unless they just say, well, it's just Donald Trump that can do that. You know, no other president can do that. It's exclusive to Donald Trump. But I certainly hope you're right. That
that's a good point. It's a funny point. Joe Biden's the last guy in the world who would do something like that. He's more like, George Washington wouldn't do something like that. Abraham Lincoln wouldn't do something like that. I mean, come on, give me a break. He would not do it. We know it. And frankly, I don't think the tarantulas are going to say that they're going to overrule the Nixon example and say presidents now have immunity. That's too much. The only thing I am afraid is they'll sit on it. They'll take it away from the Court of Appeals, and they'll sit on it past the March date. That is what I'm worried about. They're going to be sneakier, much, much sneakier, much sneakier. Coming up, abortion in Texas. You're not going to believe it. You probably heard about it already, what the poor woman had to do and what the Texas Supreme Court did. Coming up.
For a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
93.5 The Tap, the Todd Alma Show.
Even Republican women, when they walk into that booth, that reversal of RVW is going to walk in with them, because that cuts to the very essence of what a woman is and what she can be and what she can decide. To speak in Wisconsin terminology, the reversal of Roe v. Wade is the right bower for Democrats. That's a Euchre reference.
That is spot on. You nailed it, John Roach, once again.
The Todd Alma Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. This is 93.5 The Tap.
Welcome back to Methlin Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. An unbelievable decision and set of events in Texas. This reminds me, in a different context, of course, of the Dred Scott decision back in the 1850s that led up, one of the things that led up to the Civil War. This is not the Supreme Court in Texas. This is the Texas Supreme Court, not the U.S. Supreme Court. But this court down there, the courts in these states, are reverting to 170 years ago in arrogance and stupidity and cruelty. Give you an example. This is what happened. The woman at issue, her name is Cox, which was my grandmother's maiden name. I don't know if we're related. I doubt it. But Seems like a fine woman, 31 years old. Has two children, married. Carrying a baby that the doctors have said will die in the womb. And if it doesn't, right when it's born, it'll die. In the meantime, it has a lot of risk to her health, possibly to her life. You know, you can get sepsis. It's a terrible infection. People die from sepsis. And the advice, the medical advice she has is because this fetus is not viable, she would be sterile if she had to deliver it, and it would badly hurt her health, and as I say, could kill her. She looked at this, and remember, Paxton, the crooked, corrupt attorney general of Texas, he's the guy that's under criminal indictment right now down there for various frauds and briberies. He's also the guy that set up the brief arguing that Wisconsin's presidential vote, Wisconsin and Pennsylvania, Michigan, but Wisconsin's presidential vote should be overturned because the election had irregularities up here. The Supreme Court gave a decision. I would have given a different one, and I'll tell you what that is. The Supreme Court decision was you have no standing. Who the hell are you? You're from Texas. Mind your own business. That's basically what they said. I would have said, Paxton, there's one other time in history that Texas objected to Wisconsin's vote. That was in 1861. We voted for Abraham Lincoln. You objected. How did that turn out? Mangy dog, stay out of our state. I don't even want to see you on the streets of Milwaukee in July. I don't want to see you on the streets of Milwaukee in July. Anyway, the clown went to the Supreme Court of Texas, and they put a halt on the trial judge's permission to have the abortion. So the poor woman, Mrs. Cox, went out of state to have the abortion. Why? Well, think about it. These clowns, these largely men on the Supreme Court. Okay, we'll have a briefing schedule, 30 days, and then another 30 days. Then we'll have oral. Oh, great. Great. Do you understand biology at all? Do you know how more difficult and dangerous it is to do something with a fetus that's dead or dying? Why are we waiting 2 or 3 months? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Because you're lazy, you come in late, yawning and burping, you have a long lunch, the hell with you. Nevertheless, she left the state and the Supreme Court, and she had the abortion, the Supreme Court ruled as she's leaving the state, maybe right after she left, that she couldn't have the abortion. In other words, they overturned the lower court. Now, this is an unbelievable statement that I'm going to read you. And it made me very angry to read it, but I'll read it now again. Quote, this is what the Texas Supreme Court said. Quote, some difficulties in pregnancy, even serious ones, do not pose the heightened risk to the mother that the exception encompasses. What had happened is, they said, Ms. Cox's doctor asked the court to authorize the abortion, yet she did not attest to the court that Ms. Cox's condition poses the risk the exception requires. That is as cruel and stupid a statement as I've ever read. Who the hell are these guys to say, well, you know, some difficulties in pregnancy, even serious ones, don't meet the statute. Oh, really? What if she dies? Well, technically, you know, it seemed unlikely. Then they go, here's what the doctor did. This is the cruelest, stupidest thing of all. Her doctor had put in a request as a doctor that she needed to have this abortion and gave the clinical description of what has killed or was killing the fetus. But they said it wasn't under oath. It wasn't an affidavit. That's what a test means. She did not attest to the court. Then they went on with this smarmy, mealy-mouth statement. Smarmy, mealy-mouth statement that said, now, we don't want to have to make these decisions. No, not us. We think doctors should make them, but they have to be in the proper form. And, you know, you have to dot the I's and cross the T's. And there's all this briefing. What's going on in Texas? I got to ask that question. How do these guys get elected? They're elected. How do they get elected? Or how do they get selected? Sometimes they have retention, take 60% to stay in. It's not like federal judges. There is some political involvement. Who in their right mind puts in Dred Scott type judges? You know, the Dred Scott decision, they basically said a black person couldn't be free. And this poor guy had become free and they let him be snatched back into slavery. And then they went pontificated about their views on things. Well, that resulted in that resulted in the Civil War. It was one of the contributing factors. Now, how have we reverted to this kind of thinking, where some men on a Supreme Court in Texas, with a doctor saying that she had to have the abortion because it's an odd trisomy or something, it's a condition. Her doctor gave a very, very good clinical account, said, in my professional opinion, you have to do it. But they said that the doctor didn't attest to the court that the conditions pose the risk that the exception requires. The doctor's not a lawyer. That's a legal conclusion that the doctor is not competent to make. And no court should admit that testimony. It's a legal conclusion. The doctor gives the factual conclusions of the professional. That's what the doctor does. And the doctor did that. And the doctor shouldn't have had to do it. But here's what's happening down there. The court's basically saying, if you hadn't come to us and gone ahead and done it, well, what the heck? But Paxton will prosecute because he wants to be governor himself, get off his criminal charges, anything that anybody does on abortion, and there's a snitch bounty down there. Texas is a mess. It frankly is not functioning as part of America. And it better start very, very quick. And that better start with beating Ted Cruz in the upcoming election. Coming up, a lot of news and weather. And believe it or not, Tuberville is holding up more nominations regarding defense than people had realized.
Step on up and enjoy what's on tap today. Local talk about the Valley and all of Wisconsin. In fact, it's on tap every day. This is 93.5 The Tap.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The University of Wisconsin Board of Regents meets in a special session today to discuss possibly accepting the funding deal they rejected Saturday. Republican leaders at the state legislature say that was their best and final offer. Among other things, the deal would repurpose about 40 diversity employees in exchange for pay raises for 35,000 UW workers. All three of Wisconsin's veterans' homes are getting federal grants through the state to hire nurses and keep them on the job. The grants to the long-term care homes in King, Union Grove, and Chippewa Falls add up to almost $733,000. The Bureau of Labor Statistics says Wisconsin has been losing nurses at almost twice the rate as the rest of the country. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. Chippewa Falls will receive $200,000 of federal funding to develop a comprehensive safety action plan. United States Senator Tammy Baldwin announced $11 million of funding in total for Wisconsin communities through the United States Department of Transportation's Safe Streets and Roads for All program. The funding is meant to fund local and regional initiatives to prevent roadway deaths and serious injuries. Seven other Wisconsin communities received funding through the program as well. Universities of Wisconsin President Jay Rothman may have floated the idea of resignation if the vote on a deal over withheld pay raises and DEI programs failed. According to a Milwaukee Journal Sentinel report, UW student regent Evan Brankus told the news outlet Rothman alluded to resignation depending on the outcome of the vote. The Board of Regents voted 9-8 against the deal, choosing to protect diversity programs. Spokespeople for Rothman did not immediately return a request for comment. And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WCFW News.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Dane County Executive Joe Parisi. Joe, let me ask you. You've made a little news. You have declared what in regard to the Twitter, now known as the X, and the Dane County municipal accounts. Joe, have you banned Twitter?
Well, we're no longer going to be using Twitter, I think is probably the...
Is that the same as banning Twitter, sir?
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
The Packers lose to the Giants. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers never really had it going on offense, losing 24-22 to the Giants in New York. The Pack were 6-point favorites heading into the game. Packers defensive back Carrington Valentine.
I didn't even know he was favorites, honestly. I don't focus on that. I mean, I just go in and give every opponent the respect.
Valentine recovered a rare fumble by the Giants running back Saquon Barkley. The Giants managed to get into field goal territory and were good from 37 as time expired. In the NBA, the Bucks went into overtime with the Bulls, but managed a 133-129 win at home over Chicago. Giannis scored 32 points.
We're just getting good shots. I think we were able to get to our spots, execute. Everybody was aggressive. Brooke was aggressive. Dame was aggressive. And we're just able to execute.
That's the Bucks, Giannis, and Antetokounmpo with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Looking for a reliable, fast, and unlimited internet provider? Look no further than BugTussle. Whether you're streaming, gaming, working, or learning, BugTussle has
from
you
Severe
covered.
Studios, I'm Corey Hartman with a look at your forecast. For today, sunshine, highs around 27. Partly cloudy tonight, mid-teens. On your Wednesday, we'll see sunshine and a high around 34. A little warmer Thursday, 44. And a chance of rain on Friday with a high of 43.
Right now, it's 28.
Looking for a reliable, fast, and unlimited internet provider? Look no further than BugTussle. Whether you're streaming, gaming, working, or learning, BugTussle has you covered. BugTussle has continued to serve the rural communities of Wisconsin for over 20 years by providing the most reliable, high-speed internet and excellent local customer service. Call 877-227-0924 or visit btussle.com to get started. BugTussle, we're out there because you're out there.
From Lake Wissota State Park and the Pablo Center, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown. 93.5, The Tap, UK.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We go right to the lines. Tom of West Ellis, my friend. Thanks for calling. Tom, what's in your mind today?
Good morning, or afternoon, geez. Real quick question. This poor woman who has to go, finds out she has a fetus that will not survive, has to go through all that trauma, and then all what the government is doing to her with all this. You had mentioned it, and I had thought about this before. What about this no snitch thing? Now what happens when she comes back to Texas? Is she going to face even more legal BS because of this?
Yeah, it's a good question, Tom. And here's the thing. We talked a little bit about it yesterday. There's a thing in the Constitution called the Privileges and Immunities Clause. And it's the reason you have a lot of privileges and immunities under our Constitution, but and duties for that matter. But the fact is that you don't need a passport to say to fly to Arizona. You don't need an ID card to drive into Illinois. They can't stop you at the border and ask why you're coming and all that. That's because under the Privileges and Immunities Clause, we're one nation and all of the states are open to every other state. So the snitch bounty, let's say that somebody, now Texas is surrounded by a lot of complicated and right-wing states like Oklahoma, for instance. But let's say that she went to the airport and was going to California to have an abortion. And the snitch next door found out and he turned her in. The police couldn't stop her. But he would then say, she owes me, or her father who drove her to the airport, or her husband who drove her to the airport, owes me 10 grand. That's the snitch bounty. That is so clearly unconstitutional, so clearly as applied to out-of-state travel, so clearly unconstitutional that the worst law student at the beginning of the first year of law school understands that that's unconstitutional. Now, that said, this guy Paxton is deeply criminal. He is under a criminal charge right now for various kinds of fraud, and he will do anything. The problem is a thing called prosecutorial discretion. Prosecutorial discretion is not identified in any constitution, but what it really means is that a prosecutor has wide discretion to bring charges. And so, for instance, and a lot of people will say, well, he's charging me with this, but everybody does it, and so he has to charge everybody or nobody. And that's not true. He can decide who to charge as long as he doesn't single you out, say, for race or that kind of thing. Now, in this case, if he charged somebody under the snitch bounty, and remember, the snitch bounty is a civil, not a criminal matter, and it's something that somebody could put in for, and then they'd have to go to court, and she might win. She'd have to pay attorney's fees. But if he tried to do, and I think yesterday Joe Madison had called with a similar question, and I mentioned Idaho. I don't think that Texas has passed yet a criminal offense of abortion if you leave the state, but Idaho has. I think Oklahoma may have, or else has been talking about it. Certainly Alabama and Mississippi are talking about it. The problem is when you have a corrupt attorney general like Paxton, if he even brings the charge, even if the judge tosses it, even if the judge says, no, the Privileges and Immunities Clause doesn't permit it, that woman still had to pay 50 grand to a defense lawyer to go through the hoops, write the briefs. And the prosecutor has immunity. He has immunity from being fined or having to pay her attorney's fees or anything like that. I've had a number of clients who have been investigated for different things, and we've explained the truth and the facts, and then they haven't pursued, and they say, well, sue the prosecutor. You can't. Don't even think about it. So Paxton has prosecutorial discretion and immunity, and he can force these women to pay large attorney's fees. That's what he can do, even if he doesn't win substantively. That is the problem. And that's why I have no idea who the Attorney General in Idaho is. But if the Attorney General of Idaho tries to enforce the Idaho criminal law, the snitch bounty is a civil law, but a criminal law, and even if he loses every case, he has tormented the woman by bankrupting her on attorney's fees, unless she's very wealthy. And secondly, suppose you have a mom, a single mom who's a waitress, holding down two jobs. And remember, waiters and waitresses, certainly under the minimum wage law, were getting like $2.50 an hour because the expectation was that they'd make tips. So they'd make 10, 12, 13 an hour. But let's say you have a mom who's a waitress, and perhaps she dropped out of high school, and she is facing a life-threatening pregnancy. Fetus is dead. They've advised her that if she doesn't have an abortion, she could die. And Idaho has no exception for the life of the mother, believe it or not. But she could go, what, to Oregon, right nearby, or the state of Washington. But they say that's a criminal offense. My fear is that in addition to bankrupting them on fees, somebody like I've just described will not have the knowledge or perhaps the courage to risk criminal prosecution, even if she wins, and she won't leave the state. The cruelty of these statutes is to bankrupt women or scare them into staying. It has nothing to do with public policy. It has nothing to do with the law. We are in a land of Dred Scott prosecutors and Dred Scott lawyers and Dred Scott judges. And I would have thought that never could have happened 150 years after Dred Scott, 170 years after Dred Scott. But that has happened. Thanks a lot for calling. I want to talk now about what Tuberville is doing, and Schmidt in Missouri is doing it too. Tuberville is holding up 11 flag officers, 4 stars, promotions. And Schmidt of Missouri is holding up 5. He hasn't identified them, but the Senate knows who they are because they're too woke, he says. And by that he means he doesn't want black, he doesn't want female admirals and generals, and he also doesn't want, one of them apparently put something on social media where he said that he liked Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and Schmidt didn't like that, so therefore he's stabbing the country. Now, Liz Cheney came out with a statement that has given me made me think about it a lot, because I've said up till now that this rumor that Tuberville did this because he wanted Trump to appoint officers who'd be loyal to him and seize the voting machines is ridiculous, because our military academies are very honest and the people there understand that the civilian control of the military. But I'm beginning to rethink that since he narrowed it to the 11 flag officers. Because if he waits till Trump gets to appoint 4 stars, they're the ones that give everybody else orders. In the meantime, people who are supposed to be promoted to 3-star, those positions are occupied because the 4 stars are 3 stars now. They're going to 4-star. And that means that the colonels and the captains in the Army and the Navy, respectively, they all have different names or ranks, but they're the same. They get paid the same. A colonel in the Army is a captain in the Navy. They can't become 2-stars, either generals or admirals, because the 2-stars are waiting to go 3-star. See what I'm saying? So they've cleverly gummed up the thing. But even worse, here is what has been revealed. And I didn't realize this before. He's also, in addition to what I just said, held up every civilian appointment in the Defense Department that requires Senate approval. Everyone. Case in point, a woman named Mara Carlin. She's leaving and going to academia. She's had enough. She's the acting Undersecretary of Defense for Policy. The top 2 positions in the Department of Defense's policy office, the officials in charge of Pentagon strategy, are filled by acting officials because this Tuberville won't let them be confirmed. The Senate has been described by Kevin McCarthy as a country club. He said, I go over there, there's nobody around. They're all deferential to each other. He said, the House is like breakfast in a truck stop. These guys all like being part of the country club. Carlin was the one, she's terrific, helped with the modernization of the U.S. force in the Indo-Pacific. That means protecting Taiwan, Japan, the Philippines, Vietnam, Australia, Oceania. She put that together. She's the one that implemented, put together, the pact among Australia, the U.K., and the U.S., that partnership. She's also the one that's in charge of Department of Defense relations with NATO, non-NATO countries in Europe, countries in the Middle East, Africa, Eurasia, from 2021. And the fact is that there's something like 150 countries that she's in charge of the liaison with. Obviously, she doesn't liaison with everyone, but she's in charge of the liaison. She assigns who is going to liaison with them. For instance, Romania is in NATO. If Romania calls up, they're not going to get Joe Biden. They're not going to get Lloyd Austin. They're not going to get Tony Blinken. But they will get Mara Carlin, and she will hook up their general or admiral with the correct general or admiral here, and they will report what the Russians are doing on the Danube or what they're doing on the Black Sea and that kind of thing. These people are essential, and crooked Tuberville is blocking them for no reason. So it's not just 11 flag officers and four stars. He is badly hurting us when we are involved in Russia's invasion of Ukraine, trying to help Ukraine defend. He is preventing our best people on the ground when we are involved in supporting Israel after the genocidal, sadistic attacks by Hamas, and working with Israel to eliminate Hamas, but at the same time minimize civilian casualties. Now, this is easily overcome. This business of unanimous consent is a country club image. There are people in country clubs, they think they're Democrats, they think they're Republicans, but when they're in the locker room on the golf course or when they're in the dining room, they chuckle and they take care of their buddies. That's what's happening in the Senate. That's got to change. It's not in the Constitution. Unanimous consent is permitting crooked senators to destroy our national objectives. Unanimous consent can be overcome by 60 votes, but you have to overcome the filibuster. We have 51 votes, assuming that Manchin and Sinema go along. Are there 9 Republicans who are not traitors to the United States, who are not crooked as a dog's hind leg in the Republican caucus? You'd think so, but they're not on this issue. Moscow Mitch won't do it. None of them will do it. Thune of South Dakota won't do it. They all rally behind the country club. Now, Schumer, if he could hold Manchin Sinema, could overrule it with 51 votes and just get rid of the filibuster for military appointments. That's all he has to do. But none of the country club on the Democratic side, even the ones that drove Al Franken out, even them, they won't do it. This Senate is betraying this country. And that is why we're going into two wars with one hand tied behind our backs. Coming up, Caitlin Collins really takes Ron Johnson and takes him down. Wait till you hear it.
I know it. You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
When I first had my baby, I'd get comments all the time about how happy I must be. I remember thinking, I want to be happy. Why don't I feel that way? It was hard to admit that, even to my doctor. But I'm glad I did. She told me it was postpartum depression, and that is very treatable. These days, things are feeling good, and we're both happier about that. Right, little man? I'll take that as a yes.
Mental health care is working for Simone. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Anybody who's ever breastfed a child knows that breast milk is liquid gold. Preserve it at all costs.
Oh, that's what Kristen was talking about. Yeah. Freezing it, like pumping, freezing. She's like, I have bricks of it. I'm like, this sounds like a reboot of Breaking Bad. Like, this is...
In the breast
Breaking
milk
breast. Breaking breast.
Breaking breast. Well done.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. 93.5, The Tap.
Welcome back to Mifflin Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. I saw an interview, Caitlin Collins of CNN. She's very good. She was interviewing Ron Johnson, the senator from Wisconsin, who's now almost a year into his first year of the six-year term that he was elected to in 2022. I'll tell you what, That was a disaster. There's no reason he should be in the Senate. He's one of the fake electors in his pocket. Michigan. He doesn't represent Michigan. But it's a Mr. Bones routine. Positively, Mr. Pitney. Absolutely, Mr. Bose. This guy, he does Michigan. Somebody else will do Pennsylvania, blah, blah, blah. In any event, he challenged him, and it was very unwise of him to give this interview because he's not good. Remember the last interview that I recall I talked about the other day, some journalist is walking next to him. He says, excuse me, I'm on the phone. And she says, no, you're not. I can see the screen. You're not on the phone. I mean, that's a devastating, that kind of stuff. Come on. In any event, Caitlin Collins saying, well, you know, what about this? And the reason why it's unwise of him to have given the interview is because Josh Call apparently has opened an investigation based on that civil settlement where the 10 fake electors all conceded that they did something wrong to overturn the election. They won't do it again. That's an admission. These guys are dead. If he brings the criminal prosecution and puts that settlement in evidence, they either get on the stand or don't get on the stand. They don't get on the stand. They're jury looks at him and says, well, you signed this thing. If they do get on the stand, they have to lie because if they tell the truth, they've committed a criminal offense. So they could lie and say, well, I was told it was legal. It's not a defense. Ignorance of the law is not a defense. Shoot a guy, cops arrest you. Hey, I thought it was legal. Well, that's too bad that you thought that because you're going to the hoosegow. Now, in this case, Ron Johnson, I don't know what he thought he was accomplishing, but here's how it went. It was really kind of pathetic. She said, well, he said, it's nothing. Democrats do it all the time. It was fine. Democrats do it all the time. She said, which Democrats and when did they do it? Well, I didn't know I was going to be asked this, so I didn't prepare. She wanted your recipe for tuna fish or something? Why do you think she was talking to you? You're a U.S. senator. If you say something like Democrats do it all the time, it's no big deal, that it was fine, you should have a basis for saying that, a truthful basis for saying that. It doesn't work on CNN or anything else to go, I forget. I mean, I don't know exactly, but trust me. Oh, really? Okay. Trust me. Democrats do it all the time. It's fine. Trust me. Then she kept pressing him very nicely, but very firmly. And he said, well, she said, where will I find the facts to back you up? He said, it's in the books. That's what he said. And she said, what books? this guy slays me. This guy truly slays me. Democrats do it all the time. It's fine. I don't know which Democrats. I don't know which time. Where can I find it? It's in the books. And then she goes, what books? He says, I don't know. I'll forget. I'll look it up and get back to you. Oh, yeah, he's going to get back to her. He's going to get back to her. Well, it'd be great if it was in the statute books. That would be very nice if it was in the statute books. But I don't care what other book you think it was in. You can't just do this. Now, let me build on this a little bit. What is Josh Call going to do? He has prosecutorial discretion. Right now, the fake electors magnificently have been prosecuted in Georgia by Bonnie Willis, who's not even attorney general. And she went ahead and had the guts to prosecute Trump himself and Giuliani and Meadows and Chesbro and Eastman, all of the mafia that were behind this thing. That is who she went after. This is not a weak woman, believe me, a weak prosecutor. This is a very, very good prosecutor. In this state, I'll tell you what, Josh Call could do the same thing. He could do Trump, Giuliani. He could do all of these people. Chesbro, he could do Eastman. Chesbro is cooperating with him. If Chesbro was smart, he had a lawyer get into an arrangement where Chesbro wouldn't be prosecuted in return for his cooperation. That's not been disclosed. Saw an interview with Josh Call. Josh Call is being interviewed by WSN-TV Channel 12 Milwaukee, the ABC affiliate. And that, by the way, is the affiliate that I represented. I represented that, the radio station, WSN Radio, when they owned it. They since sold it. I represented several of Hearst's Avon Books, Motor Magazine, several of, you know, it's a fine organization. They fine reporters. And the reporter said to Josh Call, are you going to prosecute the guy? You going to prosecute folks? And Josh Call, very mysterious, I cannot confirm or deny. And that's fair. I mean, that's what prosecutors do. But I'll tell you what, if he does not, this is a very, very dramatic striptease, a dramatic lead up, if it's to no effect. Now, the question is, if he does prosecute, and the Secretary of State, just came out, and demanded of LeMahieu that he yank Bob Spindell, from the Wisconsin Election Commission because he's a fake elector. This is a guy who did it once, and it's like putting Gableman on the Wisconsin Election Commission. Mayhew, just before we went on the air, came back with a statement saying, I am not going to yank him. They have somebody on there who is a fake elector. And if my inference is right from this interview with Josh Call, there's an investigation going on. But the question is, in addition to Spindell and the others, is he going to prosecute Ron Johnson, Voss, and Fitzgerald? And all I'll say is, if you have a DA, not even an attorney general, going after Trump, Giuliani, and Meadows, go ahead, because it's not as if this is a earth-shattering deal. Coming up, a lot of news, a lot of weather, and President Zelensky is in Washington now, meeting with Biden as we speak, and the status of Ukraine aid.
Tell a friend what's on tap.
There's a new station in town with conversation about Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley.
This is 93.5 The Tap. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Latrell spent more than 8 years in foster care. His world changed when he was adopted at 15 with help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption.
I think about how much we love him, and I wish we could have had him for his entire childhood.
The Foundation is changing the lives of thousands of teens waiting in foster care. You can help. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS